Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Celeste Headlee. We are talking about jobs this morning on the takeaway.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we actually do want to know if recovery, recession, unemployment, what do you call the economy right now? It seems to be in transition. We talk about numbers every
transition
morning.
Transition is a good is a good name for
it's
the...
It's a boring name. You can come up with some better ones, though, out there, right?
I'm sure they can. Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. And the working with the CIA is not an appropriate jobs program.
I would not want to work
for
the CIA.
And I would not want to work for the CIA either. But we begin, as we often do in South Asia this morning, listen from Kabul. Sounds from a deadly attack early this morning in the Afghan capital that killed six United Nations staff members. Automatic weapons fire storming a guest house used by UN staff in the heart of the Afghan capital. Across the border in Pakistan, a bomb death toll and a market bombing in northwestern Pakistan has risen to at least 80 people. The attack took place in the city in the city of Peshawar. The BBC's Mark Dummett reports on the latest that comes as Hillary Clinton arrives in the region.
This was a large explosion, and it happened in an extremely busy marketplace. So the fear is that the casualty figures will rise. It's not yet clear what caused the blast, but whatever it was, it created a huge plume of smoke, and it destroyed many shops. Initial reports suggested that a security checkpoint was blown up. Dozens of these have been set up across Peshawar in recent years. The main city in Pakistan's embattled northwest is on the front line of the war with the Taliban. Dozens of people have been rushed to a nearby hospital. An official in its emergency department told the BBC he was afraid that many people had died. Taliban militants will undoubtedly be suspected. Since the start of October, they have launched a series of attacks on Pakistani cities, killing more than 200 people. This explosion happened only a few hours after the US Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, arrived in Islamabad, promising long-term support for the government.
Milestones in Pakistan there and across the border in Afghanistan. The attack in Kabul that we mentioned at the top of the hour, the third major attack in the Afghan capital in the last few weeks, follows a series of attacks across the country. And October, speaking of milestones, suddenly becomes the deadliest month for American troops in Afghanistan since the war began in 2001. Multiple bomb attacks in southern Afghanistan yesterday killed eight more American troops, bringing the total U.S. troop death toll to 55 in October, and we're not even at the end of the month yet. We're rejoined, by David Loin, the BBC's developing world correspondent, formerly a Kabul correspondent, the author of In Afghanistan, 200 Years of British, Russian, and American Occupation, and also Peter Baker, White House correspondent for our other partners, The New York Times. Thanks for being with us, to you both. So, David Loin, how does what is unfolding right now in Pakistan and Afghanistan differ from the occupations associated with the British and Russia? It's been said on this program numerous occasions that there's widespread support for the U.S. Troop presence in Afghanistan, and that makes this completely different from the British and Russian experience.
Opinion polls still show support for the U.S. presence, but it is slipping. It's slipping, of course, because of the number of civilian casualties. It's not just U.S. Servicemen and women who are being killed. A lot of Afghan civilians are being killed in this war. And it's slipping because of the widespread incompetence and corruption of the Afghan government. The Karzai government hasn't delivered over the time that it's been there. When you go into Afghan villages, as I have done, and say, why do you support the Taliban again? And they have now a presence in about 80% of the rural part of Afghanistan, people say it's because the Karzai government are corrupt. They don't deliver justice. The Taliban do deliver justice. So it's a real game of perceptions in the villages. Yes, nationally, U.S. Presence there is still broadly supported, but it's still an alien force, and it's going to be a very hard game to win hearts and minds.
Peter Baker, David Loin describes that the villages are the Taliban stronghold in Afghanistan. You report today that the president may be focused on a new strategy aimed at protecting the population centers. Apparently, I'm just making a conclusion here, conceding the villages. Is that what this new strategy is beginning to look like?
Well, they would tell you no. They're not going to simply surrender the rural parts of the country. But the idea would be to concentrate American forces in the places where the most population are, which would be Kabul, Kandahar, even Mazar-e-Sharif in the north, Herat, Jalalabad. And instead of putting thousands of Marines in some of the more rural, remote areas, focusing instead on those areas with predator drones and occasional special forces strikes to avoid pockets of Taliban or Al-Qaeda perhaps even building up. Now, this is meant to be sort of a way of looking at what General McChrystal there wants to do without necessarily trying to apply what they call a counterinsurgency strategy to the entire country, the underlying theory being that the Taliban is an indigenous force there and very, very hard to simply eradicate. So instead of killing every single Taliban out there, the idea would be to simply contain it, isolate it, keep it from doing major damage to the government in Kabul, and buy time for you to train Afghan forces to eventually take over the fight.
There's a great quote in your article, McChrystal for the city, Biden for the country. Now, does that describe a debate going on in the administration right now?
Well, General McChrystal, the commander on the ground, and Vice President Biden have been seen as sort of the poles, the opposite poles of this debate. McChrystal wanting 40,000 more troops for his strategy, and Vice President Biden being a leading skeptic of that, saying, let's not increase the footprint here for the very reasons that we've talked about, don't want to look like Soviet occupiers, and because he thinks that the bigger priority for America ought to be in Pakistan, which is where Al-Qaeda mostly is. And the Taliban is not a direct threat to the United States security well. Al-Qaeda is.
Okay, Peter Baker from the New York Times. David Lyon, you've just heard Peter Baker describing this shift in strategy, holding of the cities, or apparently what's under consideration. Does that sound like a set of repeated mistakes based on the historical experience in the region, or something new?
It's certainly very similar to what the Russians were doing in the mid-1980s when they had a complete rethink of their strategy to try and what they were trying to do was to try and make the government look more human and to, in some ways, to give up parts of the countryside. But the real dilemma for U.S. forces now is if they put more troops in, then, yes, more Americans are going to die because if there are more troops on the ground, there are more targets and there tends to be a higher death toll, as the British have seen since they have been in a large strength in Helmand province in the south since 2006. Many, many more British casualties on the ground. But if they don't put those troops in, then they concede very large parts of Afghanistan to the Taliban and ultimately to their friends in Al-Qaeda. Mm. So the big political problem, the big political question that Obama now has on his plate is, can we put enough troops in to actually make a difference to the insurgency, to have enough troops to actually dampen it down? And the McChrystal strategy sounds really clever, but actually you'd need several hundred thousand troops, and they certainly don't have that kind of force and that sort of support from the American people to go in and do that.
So, Peter Baker, if we concentrate the forces into these nine cities or so that you talked about in the New York Times article today, does that mean we're conceding the agriculture areas, that we're giving up on the protection of these agricultural fields?
Well, that's a focus of debate right now. Obviously, you look at Helmand province, for instance, which has been a stronghold of Taliban. We put a lot of Marines in there this year to work alongside the British and begin to try to take some of that back to make the villagers and residents there feel confident that they don't have to work with the Taliban, that can support the central government. But there's a debate about that. If you're using, say, 20% of your NATO force for 3% of the population, is that the best use of force? That's the debate going on.
Right. All right. Let's talk for a moment about this allegation in the New York Times that Hamid Karzai's brother has been on the CIA payroll for years, possibly going back straight to 2001 at the beginning of the U.S. Occupation and presence in Afghanistan. Does this exacerbate the notion, David Lyon, that he's corrupt or denies legitimacy to the Karzai family and thereby the Karzai presidency?
I don't think anyone in Afghanistan will be surprised by anything related to this. And actually, I think most Afghans will feel, well, President Karzai is a man who is very close to the Americans. And, why shouldn't this be something that a member of his family has done? I mean, you will know about the widespread allegations about members of his family being involved in the drugs trade. There are all sorts of things said about the Karzai family. The real problem with President Karzai is not that he's too allied or not with for other foreign governments, but as he's indecisive, he doesn't take sensible strategic decisions which people in the country can live mm-hmm. with. I have to say, on the ground, in security terms, Kabul has felt much safer in recent months when I've been there than in years before. But if the Taliban are now really going to take on foreign civilians, and that'll change the whole tone of the, of the city. It'll change the whole tone of life, and potentially it could make things much more difficult for the Karzai government or any kind of city protection plan to work.
Lots to think about. David Loyne, BBC developing world correspondent, author of In Afghanistan, 200 Years of British, Russian, and American Occupation. Let me throw one last theory at you, Peter Baker, very quickly. What about people in Washington wanting to pry Hamid Karzai away from Barack Obama by leaking these allegations about the CIA?
Well, I couldn't talk about our sources. I don't even know our sources. So there'll be lots of speculation about what the story means, who's trying to advance the
agenda,
what agenda is being advanced.
We'll get to the bottom of all of it. Peter Baker, White House correspondent for The New York Times.